The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
You wouldn't realise how much of a threat it can be to go into your attic and discover a cryogenically frozen evil duck that's willing to do harm. Now, it helps, obviously, then, if you've got a grandfather who is a retired superhero, unless he's physically infirm and unable to take on the duck on his own. If you want a guide on how to survive this kind of thing, the book that you need is the latest by Chris Judge, Evil Duck and the Feather Fortune. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Anton.
It was great to talk to you. From where did the duck come?
It kind of came from, well, wanting to make a graphic novel, but chatting with my two daughters who are 10 and 7 about just coming up with ideas, and we kind of arrived at this duck character and Evil Duck, as he's called. And yeah, just kind of one of those things that kind of falls out of the sky with all the best ideas for books and songs and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm intrigued by your decision to do this. I mean, obviously you are collaborating with your daughters, but to do this as a solo run, because you have previously been known for very successful collaborations with very high-end people. You did gigs with Owen Colfer, you did gigs with David O'Doherty, you did books with Roddy Doyle. What caused you to say, enough of them, they are dragging me down?
Well, I absolutely like the favourite but people to work with, and I love the collaboration. I suppose, yeah, I made a lot of picture books that I wrote and illustrated, but nothing with as big a kind of narrative for older kids. So I suppose probably working with those amazing authors lit a fire under me to give it a go myself, and it worked as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see what happens with how kids think of it.
It's an interesting one though, because it's a bit like The Danger Is Everywhere with David O'Doherty. It's a difficult balance between sort of negativity and threat and fun and childishness. So the combination of evil and a duck, the combination of danger is everywhere, and how did the guidebook to surviving it, you have to get that balance just right, I imagine.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I mean, I've you know, obviously a big fan of all the Spielberg films and Goonies and all that growing up, so there's for sure mild peril, but enough where, you know, the reader can put themselves in that place but aren't actually stuck on a giant chicken spaceship in space and that kind of stuff. So yeah. But yeah, no, it's fun to try and find that balance. Really enjoyed it.
You mentioned working with your daughters in this. How many kids have you?
I just have the two daughters, Joey and Juno.
And what age are Joey and Juno?
Joey is 10 and Juno is 7. Yeah, so they're like the most perfect target audience, and they just kind of gift me all these amazing ideas. So that's going to disappear obviously soon. But
Oh, so you can use them as a focus group. You can fly. I tried Evil Chipmunk and he just didn't land with the test audience.
Complete. I have this free focus group for this finite moment, so I am using it as much as possible.
How do you keep whimsy in that context? Because there is nothing like having parental responsibility for two young lives to knock the crack out of your day-to-day existence.
Oh, completely. I suppose I've trained myself to kind of know how to fit books into my life, if you know what I mean, and all the work I do as well, and my wife Kleena is amazing. She's a huge help, so she kind of pushes everything along and keeps the whip cracked, as you will.
But I assume, or maybe I'm wrong in this, because this is a bit like, I remember talking to Owen Colfer, one of your previous collaborators, and him describing the sort of regimen that he has in how he writes, and that he has a sort of a separate office, and that it is the way that he can keep as productive as he is. Do you have the same, or is that inimical to creativity?
No, I do. I have a garden studio. I usually have somewhere in town to go to, but just since COVID, I haven't. But I'll have a new studio soon, which is great. But definitely having the separate space rather than trying to work in the sitting room or whatever is brilliant. So just have a little place down the end of the garden, and I, you know, drop the kids off to school, and then I have that kind of 5 hours of intense work. And then, you know, I always think I'm going to do more after they come home from school, but it just, yeah, it doesn't happen really.
Are they allowed to read the stuff and see the stuff that you have created in their absence, or do you wait until it's finished before you show anybody?
Oh yeah, no, they're along for the whole journey, and I, you know, testing out, because one thing, if you're making children's books, it's really important to read out loud, you know, and to you know, figure out page turns and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's a page turn is as important as a scene cut in a movie, I think. So they did definitely do give me advice and feedback on that, often cruel feedback, but that's what you need.
How do you mean a page turn?
So, you know, if you're reading your a picture book or a book with a child, and it's like, and then the dog went over there, and you turn the page, and then it's jumped over off the cliff or something, or well, maybe not that brutal, but it's that kind of it's using the physical book itself to create tension and that kind of thing. Yeah,
I had never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find yourself, if you're reading picture books to kids, you'll, a really good one will build the tension, and at the page turn can either be something crazy or something, often a relief. In fact, it's like, oh, it's actually fine, that kind of thing. Yeah, so there's a lot of thought goes into that kind of thing.
Do you still add personalities to fruit?
I do. It's I can't believe you remember that. Yeah, it's an unstoppable thing for me. I can't remember what the phrase is, where you see faces in absolutely everything. There's a word for it. I'm sure people are screaming it.
Psychosis.
Something like that, yeah. And but yeah, I a pareidolia, I think it's called. And my brain is always constantly trying to find faces in knots of wood and bark and trees and fruit and that kind of thing. So if I have a Sharpie, if I'm at home cooking dinner, I'll just draw on a carrot and a potato, and yeah, it's annoying, but it's a fun grievance, I suppose.
But you still do it?
I still do it all the time, yeah. So I have this big collection. I'm going to try and do some sort of project, maybe a game with it, actually, at some stage. So, yeah, just trying to come up with some sort of idea, because I suppose everyone has fruit in their house.
And how cool to grow up in that house. So the two girls, literally every day that they come down, there will be a banana or a potato or an apple that has gained personality and a head since they saw it last.
Yeah, except I definitely think they don't even see it anymore. They're just like, stop drawing on everything, please.
Have they worked out how unusual their father's job is?
I suppose every kid's parent, I mean, like yourself, you're, you know, a radio personality. So, but I'm sure it's a very normal thing to any kids, you know.
And steady with the personality bit, Chris. Let's just leave with presenter that we can objectively stand over.
Ah, come on now. Well loved personality. I guess they definitely, my older daughter Joey brought the book into school, and I suppose she was kind of like, oh, this is, you know, it's a book hopefully up there with Dog Man and these books that all her friends like. So I suppose maybe she's noticing that it's slightly different to a regular job.
What are you going to do when they get to the age when what dad does is younger than them and therefore not cool?
Oh, I know. I remember David Bowie talking about, not that I'm comparing myself to the
No, no, stay with it. You're in there, you know, just but, wear it.
His son, Duncan, he was like, you know, Duncan thinks I'm a dork. And he's like, his dad is David Bowie. And he's like, he doesn't care. He's a dork. And he said that was just the most grounding, perfect thing. So, yeah. So I think I'll go with that vibe of thinking.
So who over the years, because this, I have always assumed, maybe it is deep unfairness, I have always thought, probably wrongly, that authors, people who work in prose, are influenced by what they have read, but that artists sort of, they exist ab initio, it is their own thing. Is that wrong? Are you influenced by the art of others? Are there artists that you emulate or that have distilled into what you do?
Yeah, it's funny, like all the artists I fell in love with kind of more as a teenager, all the different comic artists and mainly comic Jamie Hewlett and all the stuff from 2000 AD and just life-changing stuff at that 13, 14 age. That's kind of just stayed with me the whole time, you know, and I do constantly find and fall in love with new artists all the time. I think it's the early stuff, like, I think it's like music, you know, those defining albums you discover at that age, and they just form your personality forever, I think.
There is a thing I haven't thought about in 30 odd years, 2000 AD.
Yeah, yeah. An absolutely incredible comic that, I mean,
Does it still exist?
Still exists. I mean, I haven't read it in years, but those 80s and 90s, things, the amount of artists that became artists and the amount of bands that came out of just the ideas from that comic alone is phenomenal. Like you can trace a lot of stuff back to that.
Can you in modern comic art?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like for sure. There's all those artists who worked on Judge Dredd and Strontium Dog and all that. It's just, yeah, you can still see the influence today.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. As you're talking, things are coming back. Do you remember the ABC Warriors?
Oh, like, oh my so God, cool. Incredible. I remember Simon Bisley kind of rebooted them and everyone just went crazy for his stuff. And yeah, he changed the whole landscape of comic art. It was incredible.
It's funny. It's one of those things where it's very binary. You either get the reference. You know, I remember saying to somebody at some point, it's a bit like you have to walk out on the cursed earth. And they looked at me like I was, you know, but to a certain genre of people, they go, well, of course, it's a retired judge. We know how this works. That's funny.
The Long Walk. Absolutely. It's incredible.
I hadn't realized it was respected in its art, though. I had thought it was just that it found an audience among sort of teenage boys of the time. But it's regarded as excellent artwork.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the artists like Brian Boland and Kevin O'Neill. Like, Kevin O'Neill went on to do, what was that called? The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and all these things.
Really?
They're huge. Yeah, and which was turned into a film, which he hates. But yeah, and I mean, back to David Bowie's son, he's working on a Rogue Trooper film at the moment, so it's enduring.
I notice you're comparing yourself with David Bowie a lot.
I mean, I just feel very like David Bowie. It's very strange.
I think my impact on pop culture and society is commensurate with Bowie over the years.
I think I'm probably more like one of the monkeys, in fairness. I think.
Did you know, my monkeys factoid, I can't remember which one it is, but did you know that one of them was a millionaire before he ever went into the monkeys, and why?
No, I did not know that.
You'll like this. No. It'll annoy me that I think it might have been Mike Nesmith, but this relates to your area of expertise. His mother invented Tippex.
Oh, I think I heard. I was going to say, is it something to do with Velcro or something?
No, you weren't, Chris. Don't claim credit for it after I give you the fact. You had nothing to offer. I told you, and now you're trying to act all cool.
Fair enough. that is nuts, though, isn't it? So he was, what would they call them these days? A Nepo baby.
A Nepo baby, exactly. For a product that now has pretty much no value anywhere anymore. Have you ever seen Tippex for sale recently?
Oh, God, it's probably obsolete. I mean, I never thought of that. But what a band, though. I was weirdly only kind of properly discovering them recently, when they actually went and made great music.
This is the thing. They may have been manufactured, but there was a lot of that going around, and there still is. Doesn't mean they weren't good.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they took it on themselves and made two or three great albums. Brilliant.
Chris, congratulations on the latest book. If you want to buy it, it is Evil Duck and the Feather of Fortune. And someday, when you have a spare apple with a personality that you don't need, can I commission you to stick it in the post to me? I'll find a way to freeze it and keep it.
I'd love to do that. Absolutely. Listen, thanks so much, Anton. Great chatting to you again.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.